Aaron Campbell, how you doing today?
Hey, Danny D. Douglas, what's going on, man?
Not much. Should we let the listeners in on the fact that we're doing this across the ocean, me and Japan?
Yeah, why not? And why not? You? I think it's a technological wonder.
Your secret location?
Where my secret location is? I am in the state of the Sunshine State.
The Sunshine State. Is this a quiz?
I'm in the Sunshine State. No. This is the Sunshine State of the state of Florida.
Hawaii really should be the...
No.
They probably get a lot of rain there.
Yeah, I don't know. But the nickname of Florida is the Sunshine State, and that's where I am.
And
yeah.
You are doing what?
I'm hanging out with my family.
Nice.
And,
nice.
Yeah, we're getting some good family time.
And we are doing this recording today over Skype, and we're talking about mistaken identity.
Yes, exactly. Mistaken identity.
So some pretty wild stories this month.
Pretty wild stories. I mean, mistaken identity can easily happen.
Have you ever been mistaken for somebody you weren't?
Not seriously. I mean, I think sometimes people might think I look like a certain famous person or movie star, but I think it's just in jest. I don't think they're actually serious about it.
Didn't you tell me once you got assaulted by a random person in Mexico? Did that person think you were someone else?
No, that person was just kind of crazy, and they wanted to punch me or something like that. Which, fair enough.
You got a kind of punchable looking face.
Yeah, why not? Go ahead and punch me. But no, I don't think I've ever been seriously, identity.
Well, I have.
How about you?
Thank you for asking. I have.
Okay.
When I was at the young age of 20, I think around 20.
Uh-huh. You were just a baby.
I was in Union Station in D.C. waiting for a train, I think, to New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I notice a whole gang of deaf girls following me around the station.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, I was reading a newspaper, and I saw like a crowd of like 20 deaf girls wildly signing and pointing.
When you say girls, are you talking about teenagers? Or are you talking about like young, like elementary school girls?
These were high school girls. I was in college. I was 20, and they looked like they were in high school.
Okay.
And I started to get a little uncomfortable. Uh-huh. And I started getting a little weirded out because there was all this wild signing and pointing at me. And so
who did they think you were?
So I moved. I moved to a different part of the station, and they followed me. And then finally, one of the deaf girls came with a note saying, are you Keanu Reeves?
Oh, gosh.
So they
and you said, yes, I am.
and I said, they weren't blind. So they recognized a good-looking young man.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that was pretty funny.
But, so you didn't milk it?
No, I didn't milk it. I didn't ask for any phone numbers.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So this month's story started with Beck. Adolf Beck.
Good old Adolf.
Adolf, and not a name that's very popular these days.
No, I think Hitler had something to do with that.
I wonder how many people are named Adolf. Probably not many.
Probably not so many, yeah.
But the guy that got Adolf in trouble's name was John Smith. How many John Smiths do you think there are in the world?
There's a few. I bet there's a few.
Well, John is the most common name, man's name in the U.S., Smith is the most common last name in the U.S.
Right.
But interestingly, the combination John Smith, it doesn't even make the top 10.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Really?
I think probably because people have this connotation that John Smith is such a generic, phony sounding placeholder name.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds like an alias, John Smith. So right. I think people whose family name is Smith are hesitant to give that name to their son.
Right.
James Smith, most common name in the U.S., James Smith.
Really? James Smith, yeah. Huh?
Followed by Michael Smith. Top three combinations are all Smiths.
Wow.
So
I did not know that.
Put that in your back pocket. Use that to impress someone.
I'll put that in my pipe and smoke it.
So John Smith, I wonder even back at that time if John Smith was just a placeholder name. Because
yeah, I wonder.
For a con man to use the alias John Smith sounds like he wasn't so creative.
No, he should have used Dan Douglas. That would have been much better.
Lord Willoughby, on the other hand, I like that name.
Lord Willoughby. That's quite a name.
That's a name you can trust.
That's right, Lord Willoughby.
Lord Willoughby wants to borrow your jewelry. Sure, why not?
Why not? I'd give my jewelry to him.
So, John Smith, Lord Willoughby. I think his real name was Mayer, probably.
Right.
He actually had quite an interesting backstory. You know, just like Beck was this man of the world who, you know, was from Norway, lived in England, then went to South America, was a singer and an investor and a businessman.
Right.
This guy Mayer also had quite a history. I think he was from Austria, and he had gone to Hawaii of all places in the 1800s and studied people with some kind of infectious diseases. And and then he went on to supposedly become the personal physician of the king of Hawaii.
You're kidding me, really?
Yeah. And then he had a history of different business investments and I guess which all went sour and he ended up becoming a con man.
Right.
So bad guy. He clearly knew about all the trouble that Beck had gone through on his behalf, and he was willing to put him through it again.
Yeah, as soon as he realized that Beck had gotten out of prison, he went at it again.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to that guy if they threw the book at him.
I don't know. Yeah.
So what would you have done? What would you have done in this situation?
You mean as whom?
As Beck. How would you have proven your innocence?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard when everyone thinks that you're that person. How do you prove that you're not that person? I mean, I suppose I would have taken the circumcision route to its biggest extreme, but I mean, I guess that didn't seem to sway the authorities in any way, which it should have, but it didn't.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I mean, what can you do in that situation? Everyone thinks you're the person that you're not. How do you disprove them? How do you set them straight? I don't know.
Apparently, this story is in British legal textbooks because it was the impetus for setting up a court of appeals, which at that time
you
did not have. If you're guilty, you're guilty. And that's it. And also it's cited to this day for as evidence of the unreliability of eyewitness testimony. But apparently they didn't really look all that much alike. They dress similarly, they had nice clothes, and they were older, maybe both in their 50s, 60s, and they had gray hair and a mustache. But that description fit a lot of people.
I wonder is you know what made those initial women come forward and you know demand that is the person, that's the person that did this to me, that committed this crime against me. How could they have been so sure that was the guy?
Well, I think the first person who called him out, she just was mistaken. The guy looked similar, and she thought this is the guy. And then they pulled in other women who had reported these crimes years in the past, and maybe their memory was a little right. fuzzy, and they put up a lineup, and they put, he was like the only older guy with a mustache and gray hair in the lineup. So of course they're like, yeah, that's the guy.
Gosh.
And then the second time he got arrested, apparently uh-huh. the police kind of set him up. There was another yeah. report of the same scam. Some Lord Willoughby or some phony aristocrat borrows a woman's jewelry with the promise of buying her new jewelry. And the cop who took that report remembered the case of Beck. And they're like, look, Beck's out.
Yeah.
He's out of prison. It must be him. Let's get
yeah.
him. And so the police told that woman who reported the crime, okay, we know who did it. This is the guy. Like, go accuse him.
Right.
And, you know, she probably saw him and thought that the police say it's this guy, so it must be this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
Man, what bad luck, you know?
The power that the police have to shape people's, you know, sketchy, vague memory. Memory's a tricky thing.
Right.
And then when you have somebody in authority saying, yes, this is the guy, it
right.
you know, fixes. I remember in the 1990s, there were all of these cases of, you know, psychiatrists or hypnotists that were bringing people back to their childhood. And there were all these uh-huh. reports of child abuse. That
right.
you remember this? That came out to be, you know, false.
No, I don't think I remember that.
It turned out these psychiatrists unknowingly were kind of leading people to create these stories
to make these claims, right? Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
So yeah, memory is a sketchy thing. We think of it as this fixed thing, but
maybe it can be manipulated yeah. or influenced by people who are, you know, talking with you or have influence over you. Yeah, for sure.
You know, the current conception of memory is is something that every time we remember something, we're really recreating it and
right.
And adding to it or taking things away. And
sure.
they've done some studies that show that people who think about an incident less are more likely to, upon recall, have an accurate memory of the event. So, for example,
right, 'cause
If me and you had a discussion 6 years ago about what we want Deep English to be, and I think about
yeah.
it every day and you never think about it, if we're
right.
both to compare our memory of that event, since you
yeah.
have not been thinking about it, it's more likely
right.
that you'll have an accurate idea of what that conversation was about.
Well, that explains a lot, Dan. That's why I have a very accurate view of
right.
Deep English.
Right. That's why you recognize when we started this thing, you said, Dan, you're going to be the boss. You have the vision. You're the skipper. You're the captain. Wherever you go, I will follow.
That's right. In your dreams, buddy.
So the other case was that terrible, I mean, I guess terrible for one family, wonderful
yeah.
for the other.
That's,
of
Patricia, yeah, well,
Patricia
well,
Noonan.
Well, yeah, terrible for one family, wonderful for the other. But in fact, at the beginning, it was the reverse. It was terrible for one
yeah.
and wonderful
yeah.
for the other. And, you know, I was thinking about this case specifically and trying to imagine what it would be like to lose a loved one or a daughter to this kind of accident and think that she's dead and go through all the mourning and the saying goodbye and burying the body into the ground and, you know, just letting go and make, oh, I mean, just, and then to find out that she's actually still alive, how would you feel? I mean, it would be a mixture of elation plus kind of horror in a way, because you understand that your elation is at someone else's expense who has gone through weeks of, or however long it took, of knowing that or thinking that their daughter was still alive and then realizing that actually that's not their daughter. Their daughter had passed away a week or two previous, and this is someone who is not your daughter. And imagine what that must feel like. I mean, I just can't. It's so unbelievable.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, when somebody dies in an earthquake on the other side of the world, you know, it's terrible. You think, wow, that's terrible. But it's kind of hard to actually empathize. But if you just went through that exact same experience for the last 2 weeks of your life, wow, the empathy levels must be, you know.
Oh, man. I just can't imagine it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's a really powerful story. And it hasn't just happened once. I mean, that's happened before. That particular case, I think, happened in 1984 in the story. But there was another recent case that happened in 2006 in the United States. A van full of young people crashed, and they... Something similar happened. A number of children died, and there was still one that was left alive, and they mistook the identity of that child, and a similar type of thing happened. So, you know, it's not unheard of. I'm sure those are just reported cases in the news, but perhaps this has happened in other countries as well, and we just don't know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I wonder about is, you know, her funeral, to wake up after your funeral has happened. It's not an experience many people get to hear about what actually happened at their funeral.
Yeah.
I bet she had a lot of questions.
I'm sure she did. Yeah. I wonder how much she found out about.
Yeah.
And I also wonder, wow, you know, I mean, this is totally tangential, but, maybe we should have people's funerals before they die so they can be present at their funerals and see what people say about them, you know? Well, I wonder if that should be a new custom.
I'm only going to say good stuff at your funeral.
Oh, well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. And that's why I pay you to do those things, you know, because I need somebody to say something nice about me.
I'll sing your favorite Whitney Houston song.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you.
I am planning to outlive you. I know you've been doing a lot of running.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to outlive you.
Okay, well,
it's not
fair enough.
Or anything. I hope we
But I mean, it'd be good to have you at my funeral.
Yeah.
So somebody can say some nice things about me. That's nice. Yeah.
And
thanks, man.
The final story. Do you know how to pronounce this guy's name?
No, it's kind of hard to pronounce, man.
Yeah.
Well, how would you pronounce it?
I'm going to have to look this one up. But maybe I would say Jun Liang.
That's good enough, I think. Yeah.
It's actually, I'm not sure how accurate it is. I could only find, you know, there are lots of articles on the internet that we'll put links to. Most of them said that he was unidentified, or they referred to him as Mr. L.
And then one article, why is that?
One article said Jun Liang, so that makes me wonder, is Liang, Mr. L, is that actually his last name, Liang, and that article just mushed two names together?
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, the ordeal he went through was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Considering he was just a tourist, I mean.
Yeah, it just goes to show you gotta study that English. End up in a refugee camp.
You can't communicate in English, man. You're in trouble.
Yeah, we should put that on our website.
That's right. We should get him to say prison. Something.
We should send this guy some free English lessons. I didn't think about
we
that.
We should. We totally should,
yeah. Find this guy?
I don't know.
31-year-old Chinese backpacker. I wonder if it was his first time out of China and he ends up in a refugee
first
camp.
Ron, 31?
Probably not.
I doubt it. No, I doubt it, but it could be. But what I find amazing about this is the fact that something like this could happen, that the German bureaucracy could, you know, allow someone to fill out a completely incorrect form and not have some system of checking as to whether this is legitimate or not.
Yeah, the red tape, just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, they didn't understand him, but apparently they understood that he wanted his passport back. You got to guy saying, passport, passport.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, just go sit down, have something to eat. Though actually,
yeah, and here's
they gave him along with all the refugees some pocket money equaling about $30 or so, which makes me think it wasn't like they were locked up. Maybe they had some freedom to move around this town, and but their passports were taken, which is odd. Why are they taking refugees' passports? These refugees don't want to leave; they're requesting to stay.
And how many of the refugees have passports? I mean, maybe a lot of them don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
And the vast majority are from, you know, Syria or the Middle East. So you would think a Chinese guy would really stand out.
Well, apparently he did.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole reason that one of the guards or one of the staff members went to him and noticed that something's different about this guy because he's dressed differently. He seems totally confused. He doesn't seem like... He just seemed really out of place. And it's funny that he used an app on his smartphone to do the translation.
Yeah.
So that's very telling of the times.
Smartphone app.
Yeah.
You want to spend 15 days in a refugee camp? Stick with your smartphone app. You want to get fluent?
There you go.
Deep English.
Yeah, right.
That'll be our new sales.
Wow.
Our new tagline.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that one had a clear-cut happy ending, unlike the earlier two stories.
And apparently
the guy was not afraid to continue on with his travels.
Well, that's kind of the part I liked most about the story was that he was willing to just let that go and chalk it up for experience and move on with his original plan of, you know, doing some sightseeing and enjoying the wonders of Germany.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, with that, why don't we bring this to an end? I hope your travels, you get some free time. I know you're doing a lot of work there. But safe travels, and until next time.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next time.
See you later.
See ya.